You know, we had a certain concept running. Nobody got open, so I was backing up. And in a situation where if you get a sack there, it ends the game. Trying to throw the ball to the back of the end zone. Didn't get to where I wanted it to go. Obviously, I was on my heels. And something I can, you know, definitely learn from.
And that is the voice of Robert Griffin III after throwing that mind-numbing interception to end the game in Philadelphia. And, of course, it's under the song Free Falling, which is what the Redskins are doing. By the way, we were talking about this off mic. Nick Foles, Tom Petty, separated at birth. Pretty sure that's his dad.
Well, it could be. It could be. He's playing like it. He's a Super Bowl quarterback the way he's looked and the way the Eagles have looked.
He came into the game with 16 touchdown passes, no interceptions. One of the keys to the game, as I talked about by myself because you weren't here, they needed to take the ball away from him.
Yeah, they needed to.
They needed to take the ball away from him. So he didn't throw any touchdowns, didn't throw any picks either. By the way, I am Rob Woodfork alongside George Wallace, who is back in the fold.
He didn't need to.
He didn't need to what?
They have a guy named LeSean McCoy, if you hadn't noticed, ran all over the Redskins defense. And a guy named Brent Celek, who went untouched on a screen pass.
Yeah.
Down to the half of your foot line, which is inexcusable.
That is inexcusable because Brent Celek is not to be mistaken with Jordan Reed or any of the other speedier, more athletic tight ends.
Not at all. In fact,
I'm pretty sure Tom Celek could beat him in a foot race. So that was not a very good result for the Redskins. You open up the game in a 24-0 hole and, you know, give them credit for fighting out of it. But, I mean, you got to stop getting yourself in these holes to have to fight out of.
And there are no moral victories either. You know, I know all this, you know, fight to the end. And I must have heard four times in a locker room yesterday, I'd go to war with these guys any day. That's fine. But at some point, you can't have moral victories. Your season's on the line. You come out so flat yesterday. That's just inexcusable. That's what I'm having a hard time wrapping my brain around. The players are too. After in the locker room, the guys just standing there. They have no answers. They don't know what's going on.
Right. And I mean, last year we saw the sense of urgency, and I hate to keep comparing things to last year, but the parallels are there. They approached those last seven games as if they were playoff games. This year, it's like it feels like they're playing out the string almost.
They had talked all week about the parallels and we can do this again and so on and so forth. Need a quick start. And, you know, you heard all week that they had a great week of practice, but then once that coin flip yesterday, I mean, it was just the Eagles took it right out of them.
I mean, and they punked them from before the game. Their team bus gets egged by fans.
Right.
You see,
I didn't get egged walking to the stadium. That's good.
Yeah. That's good because I've seen you in a fist fight, sir. You are undefeated and still champ.
Yeah,
but,
still champ.
You saw LeSean McCoy ripping the flag from a Redskins fan in the stands before the game and throwing it to the ground. I mean, they were getting disrespected before the game. They got disrespected during the game and after the game. I mean, I don't know what's left to say about this team because it's sort of the same old song. As a matter of fact, we might just record this and play it next week.
You might as well.
And we'll just edit it out. And
this is not going to get any easier.
Oh, no, because the 49ers come into town.
Right. Coming up,
and that's
loss.
A team that's going to be pretty ticked off because of the way they lost in New Orleans with that horrible, horrible call on the sack of Drew Brees. That would have essentially given them some life in that game. But coming off of a loss, coming over to the East Coast, I mean, it's you got to like their chances of coming in here. But
sticking
with the present, though, I mean, where do the Redskins go from here?
Well, and that's going to be the big thing is to see who does show up and play these last six games, what kind of fight this team has in them. Everybody's playing for jobs now. Coaches coaching for jobs. You're going to find a lot. I think these next six games, I don't think Dan Snyder's mind has been made up yet for next year. I don't think he has one way or another, whether or not he's giving the coach an extension, whether or not he's bringing him back. Shanahan is under contract for next year.
Right.
But how many times do you see NFL coaches coaching in the last year of their contract? You don't because
Doesn't
of stability.
Happen. And when it does happen, it's usually not very good.
Oh, you lose the locker room. Right.
Yeah,
so
John Fox is the most recent example I can think of.
Exactly.
His last year in Carolina.
So he can do a couple of things. Either give a year extension and just shut everybody up and say, this is your coach next year, or 2 years, fix this. or you go in a different direction after this season. If this season, if they don't get to 5 wins or 6, I was thinking after the loss in Minnesota, they'd go 6-10. But I'm having a hard time finding 3 more wins right now.
So am I.
So, I mean, you know, and I granted, I know everybody said this last year too, and the way they were playing. But I just, you're not going to see that run, I don't think, this year. And we didn't see it yesterday. I don't think you're going to see it beginning next week either. So that's one of the other options. If they don't get to 5-6 wins. The Snyder blow the whole thing up now and start over. If you do that, you're starting over.
Yeah.
But, you know, you do have some cornerstone pieces on offense, which is great, but
there's no guarantee that's going to translate to whatever the new offense is.
Right.
And that's where the rub is to me, because the offense, when Robert Griffin III is playing well, that offense, I could put that up against anybody's. I mean,
that is a championship caliber offense.
It is.
Yes,
it is. The system works.
Yes.
They have a quarterback that makes it work. And they have some pieces in place. Jordan Reed looks like the steal of this draft.
Yeah, like Alfred Morris was last year.
Yeah. Pierre Garçon looks great. Alfred Morris is a battering ram. And, you know, they've got the pieces there in place on offense. I mean, the jury is still kind of out on the defense. But, I mean, to me, they have the framework in place for being a really good team. But for some reason, just it's not translating on the field.
And the defense, okay, the salary cap hit, that's fine. I understand that that happened.
Right.
They're old on defense now, especially the linebacker. He came in and took a top-five defense, wanted to switch it to 3-4. Still hasn't gotten that right personnel right in that. That just hasn't happened.
Yeah.
So, and the special teams, we're not going to talk about the special teams.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of question marks that need to be, a lot of questions that need to be answered in the direction other than the offensive side of the football. So that's just going to be the big thing is, where do you go from here? I think Mike Shanahan is a guy, first of all, he's not going to walk away from $7 million, I don't think.
I wouldn't think he would.
So, you know, does he coach next year without an extension? And Snyder say, okay, you're going to go coach this last year, your deal, and then we'll talk. Go fix this.
Right. I think you got to bring him back. I've heard one intriguing scenario that would certainly help matters. I don't know if it would fix things altogether. You bring Shanahan back, you know, re-up him for a year. And then if they blow things up in Houston, which it's starting to look like they might, given the way they're tanking, Wade Phillips might be on the market. He and Shanahan have a nice little relationship from their time in Denver. You bring Wade Phillips. I mean, we know from his time in Dallas, he's not a head coach, but as a defensive coordinator, I'd put him with alongside anybody.
Well, and that's the thing. That could be one of the other things, if he does come back, is that you have to make changes to your staff, he tells them.
You have to.
Yeah.
You have to. And I mean,
and you're starting with special teams, and you could be starting with Haslett. You could finish with Haslett, too.
Right.
How
a year changes things, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, and take away that 7-game winning streak, and the record has not been great.
No.
I get it. So then you have to look at last year. Was last year the fluke? Or was this year a fluke?
I mean,
you know what I mean?
It seems to me last year would probably be the fluke because you're talking about them going and making that run at a time when they were missing so many starters on defense. They were just hobbled completely.
Schedule worked out in their favor last year.
The schedule did work out in their favor, but this year they were healthier, you know, save for Robert trying to work his way back. But I mean, overall they were healthier. You would think that with a slightly easier schedule, being in a worse division wholesale,
right,
that you'd be able to take advantage of that. And even if you don't win 11 games like we thought they would, I mean, you would at least think that you could put together 9 or 10 and do what you did last year.
And you know, the funny thing about that is the biggest question mark to me, you know, one of the biggest question marks was Griffin. I think he's answered the question. I think his knee's fine. He worked his way back. I mean, he's a threat now.
He's,
I mean,
progressively come back, but he's made a lot of rookie mistakes.
That last throw at the end.
Yeah, as far as the health, he's back. In terms of actually playing at the high level that we saw him last year, I mean, you know, 5 interceptions over the course of the whole year, we knew he wasn't going to replicate that.
Correct.
But some of the interceptions he's thrown this year have been just mind-numbing, including the one we saw to end this game.
Yeah.
I mean, they were there. They were there. And he just, I mean, if it's fourth down and you have to get rid of it,
Different story.
But if he didn't know the down and distance, that's a problem. If he doesn't have the arm strength to get the ball out of bounds, even though he's throwing off his back foot, that's still a problem. He doesn't know how to throw the ball away. He doesn't know how to slide. Even when he slid a couple of times in the game,
it's more like a sit.
Yeah, it's more like I'm just going to land awkwardly on the back of my head.
Plop down right here.
Yeah. So,
no, but you're right. And like the pocket presence and the awareness is still a thing that would be concerning. But then again, you know, you think about, you know, not to make excuses, but his entire offseason, like I mentioned before, he didn't step on the field once.
Yeah.
And that's a big deal between a first-year and a second-year quarterback. You hear everybody say it. You hear the so-called experts say it. So now with him getting a full offseason and to get the actual reps and not mental reps, I think that's going to be huge for him.
Yeah.
But same time, you know, you don't know, A, who it's going to be under, what kind of offense you're going to be in, and so on and so forth.
Right, right.
But don't worry, we've got six more to digest all this.
Oh,
we're
yeah.
not done with this.
Six more games, and they have the 49ers on Monday night.
Yeah.
Then they have the Giants on a Sunday night.
Yes.
And so primetime whippings all around.
And then the Chiefs come to town, by the way.
Yeah, the Chiefs who just got their first loss of the season. It's not a very good stretch of games for them.
No, no, not at all.
No. And the Giants, and we were talking about this off mic, the Giants, it is conceivable and starting to look even likely that they open the season with six losses,
yes.
and they might rattle off six wins in a row.
Yeah, they're 0-4, they're 4-0 after that, yeah.
Yeah, so they have Dallas, and then they have the Redskins.
Yes.
That's mind-numbing.
Not bad, huh?
Yeah, that's the word of the day, mind-numbing. Well,
on that note.
Yeah, there you have it, folks. Well, we are still trying to not make this wholeheartedly negative, but it's hard to. I mean, we can only deal with the material they give us.
Yeah, we're not making this up, folks. We're not writing our own material.
Yeah. Well, we will preview, even though we are pretty much in agreement, it's not going to be pretty. We will preview the San Francisco game on Friday. Don't forget to check out the NFL recap on WTOP.com every Tuesday. And George Wallace, you wrote a little something.
Yeah, a little blog from the game last night from the locker room. We got home from Philadelphia. Had to throw some things down. You can check it out.
All right. Check that out on WTOP.com. Search in the sports section. Obviously, it would be under the Redskins heading. I'm Rob Woodfork. This is George Wallace. We'll talk to you guys Friday.